Well, we've been having a series going through the I Am statements of Jesus, and today we come to John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So our Bible reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. So there, if you're visiting, there are some pew Bibles, or you can look it up on your phone if you wish. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. This is God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And we thank God for his word. Well, today we arrive at perhaps one of the most well-known I Am statements of Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. And of course, for me, that falls neatly into a three-point sermon. Well, except it doesn't, not quite, because these three descriptions of Jesus are not separate ideas or entities. Each word is interlinked with the others. Way, truth, and life. You could almost say they are coordinated in a geometrical arrangement like three sides of a triangle. So I will have 3 points, but I'll also show how each word links to the others. For those of you who are not so fascinated with geometrical explanations, don't worry, that's the last time I'm going to mention something mathematical. But it's important to know that Jesus is at the same time the way and the truth and the life. So let's start with the way. If you're a fan of the Star Wars spin-off series, The Mandalorian, you'll know that apart from the cute baby Yoda, one of the defining characteristics of that show is the Mandalorian saying, this is the way. The way is the Mandalorian warrior's code, a way of acting that they're totally committed to, even to the point of extreme personal cost. Well, if that was lost on you, I know it wasn't lost on William or my son Levi, but here's another way to think of the way, like blazing a trail. So in the old days before GPS, when explorers had to find their way through a forest, they would put a mark in the trees to show the way for those who followed. If you've ever navigated through a forest, and I'm sure some of the Duke of Edinburgh group did, you'll know what it's like when you follow a trail and then you finally emerge out into the open and you can see the landscape clearly. That happened to me when I was leading a group in the Black Forest in Germany. The only problem was when we emerged in the trees, I realized we'd ended up in completely the wrong place. I mention those two examples to explain that when Jesus says he is the way, neither of those ideas is actually what he means. So he doesn't mean he is the way as some sort of moral code to follow. That if we commit to his set of rules, we will honor his code and feel that we have done what is right no matter what. But aren't many people like that? They live by a code, perhaps of their own making, perhaps of inherited tradition, but that is not the way. Neither does Jesus mean he is the way in the sense that he is going ahead of us to show us the way to our destination, like blazing a trail or giving us signposts to follow. He's not saying here in these verses, hey, this is what has helped me get to where I'm going, and perhaps it can help you too. No, Jesus is saying that he is the way. Just like when he says he is the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he also says he is the gate for the sheep. He is the way into a place of safety, a place where we can dwell, a place where we can truly call home. And this is great news for us. In fact, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the way. We're not left to attempt to follow his footsteps to get to God, looking for signs along the way. We're not bound to a code of conduct which if we break it, we will be dishonored and shamed. We are called to trust in Jesus, and he will be the way to God, like a door opening on its hinges, letting us in to the Father's house. And this all makes sense of the question from Jesus' disciple Thomas, which led Jesus to speak those words, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Thomas asks in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus' reply is to affirm that they do know the way because they know Jesus, and he is the way. And this is where it links to the truth. Jesus is affirming that the disciples know the truth about Jesus, the truth about who he is, the Son of God. And as Jesus says in verse 7, if they really know him, they know the Father, they know God. We'll come back to truth in a minute, but now let's see the connection to that other word, the life. Life is what we receive when we believe the truth that Jesus is the way. And in this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, we know that he is talking about eternal life. In verse 2, Jesus has assured his disciples that in his Father's house there are many rooms. In other words, there is space for them in eternity. There is hope for life after death. But we'll also come back to that in a minute. First, let's return to the way. We know that Jesus himself is the way, but the question remains, how is Jesus the way? And the answer is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, which tell us exactly how Jesus is the way. It says there, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." Jesus' body sacrificed on the cross for us to pay for our sin and reconcile us to God is the way. The way into that most holy place, the way into God in all his purity and holiness. And the only way we can enter that place is to have our sin washed away, to be holy before God, and Jesus provides the way. Now, there are some people, and I'm sure I would be one of them if I hadn't grasped God's grace, or in fact been grasped by God's grace, there are some people who feel that they can't get back to God or to God in the first place, in that holy place. They feel they've messed up or they've fallen so far that there's no way back. Or they feel lost and distant from God, like being in a dense forest and unable to find their way out. And when they think they've found a way out, they realize they've ended up in the wrong place and they have to plunge back into the forest again. Maybe that's you or someone you know. But Jesus, he isn't just a way, he is the way. He's the way for me, and he's the way for you. Well, how do we know that Jesus is the way? Because we know that he is the truth. In this verse before us, when Jesus says he is the truth, he has a specific focus. It's not a general comment on truth and on the value of truth. It's a focus on himself. And in writing this gospel about Jesus, John has an emphasis on truth. Right from the beginning in chapter 1, he describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. And then in the encounter of Jesus with a Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, he records the words of Jesus saying, "True worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth." And John records the words of Jesus saying, those famous words, "The truth will set you free." And there we have a way to bring a sharp focus on what Jesus means when he says he is the truth, to bring crystal clarity to what he is saying. Because when Jesus says the truth will set you free, he is talking to a Jewish audience who claim to be true followers of God. They say they are children of their ancestor Abraham, who William mentioned just a minute ago. But Jesus tells them because they do not recognize him as the Messiah, as the Savior, the Son of God, they are not true children of Abraham. Because as Jesus points out to them, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. So I wonder, do we also rejoice in this truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, and because he is the only way to eternal life, the only way to God. And so we come to life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You know, sometimes when the gospel is presented by preachers or in Sunday school, they make it too simple. They say it is like a ticket to heaven. And those preachers and Sunday schoolers, they urge their Sunday school teachers, they urge their hearers to believe that Jesus is the way to eternal life after death. And of course, that is absolutely true, what they're saying. But Jesus doesn't present it quite that simply. And we need to be careful to follow his cue, to pay attention to all his words. When Jesus speaks of life, it's more than something that waits for us in the future, that we hold out for, clutching that precious ticket in our hands, or perhaps putting it on a shelf until the time comes. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 3, he says this, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so we have eternal life when we have a relationship with God. Or in other words, for the Christian, eternal life starts now, because it is spiritual life. It's a new life in Christ. Knowing Jesus, who is the life, is what brings us to life. You know, it's a huge blessing if you were brought up in a Christian home and you were baptized as a baby, perhaps, and I'm sure that's true of many of us here. It's wonderful to be able to testify that there was never really a part of your life that you weren't a Christian, and after that point you were. And what a blessing it is to grow up knowing how to pray to your Heavenly Father, knowing the truth about Jesus Christ, knowing songs to worship God, and having Christian family and friends. But there's also something very powerful about the testimony of those that they had a definite move from not knowing Jesus to knowing him. And I remember being at the baptism of a young man from Libya who'd become a Christian from a Muslim background. And after his baptism, he said these words to me. He said, "Now I start a new life." And he wasn't going into this glibly. He knew what a massive commitment it was for somebody who was a Muslim, especially from somewhere like Libya, to become a Christian. He wasn't making a minor decision like taking out a subscription to Netflix or changing his mobile phone contract. For him, Jesus was totally life-changing and life-giving. When you experience Jesus, when you know that life in Christ that brings that deep-seated joy and peace, even when circumstances around you seem anything but life-giving, that's life in Christ. When you know, like that young man from Libya, that you've received a brand new life compared to what you knew before, that's life in Christ. When you know the life-giving freedom of forgiveness from God, the unfathomable depth of his grace, the assurance of his love, that's life in Christ. If you already know the way and the truth and the life, I hope you know it more and more. We can always grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we always need to let those three words define our reality. Even Christians can stray into the woods sometimes. And if you don't know the reality of those three words, well, there they are. Perhaps a starting point is to read more. Read through John's gospel and see the way, the truth, and the life as John describes him walking on this earth as a man and also as God himself, God with us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the way and the truth and the life. Father God, we thank you that he is the way to you. He is the way to restore that broken relationship so we can know fellowship with you, so we can know the assurance of your love, so we can know your forgiveness, so we can know that we have a sure and certain hope for the future, so we can know eternal life. Father God, for anybody here who doesn't know that in their lives today. I pray for them, Father God, that their eyes would be opened, that they would see that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that they would receive that new life into themselves and know the joy and the wonder of knowing you. Father God, we thank you and praise you for that, that we can know that joy and wonder, and that we can worship you in awe, because you are a holy and amazing God who stooped down and sent your son Jesus to die for us. And so it's in his name we pray. Amen.